College football nerds here talking Alabama and Georgia. Obviously, biggest game in the season so far in the SEC. Probably going to be a little bit bigger game come playoff time. We're going to talk about a lot of things in this game, but before we do, a couple pieces of homework. In the comments, give us your score for this game. Going to have that, obviously, and we do that every week, and we always get down there and mix it up with you. Also, please, while you're down there, go ahead and hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. Helps us out a ton. And share this where you talk about football. That's the biggest way you can help us out. We do a live show every week. We went an hour and 45 minutes this Saturday. So if you want to hear us talk about Alabama-Auburn kind of right after it happened, sort of some immediate reactions, some review of that. We discuss that throughout that time. We give a top 10. We review some other games that happened during the day. So you can check that out as well. Also, podcast version in the description. Okay, Josh. Georgia fans coming into this deservingly cocky because they've been the only team this year who hasn't made this feel like a 2007 season. They feel like a dominant team surrounded by pretenders. And if one of the things that we always say is the easiest way for you to separate yourself isn't necessarily beating a bunch of highly ranked teams, it's dominating good or even bad teams consistently. Georgia's the only team that's done that. Alabama is usually the team doing that. They haven't done that this year. And the book's been out on this Alabama offense now for a few weeks that you just send everybody. But this is going to be a theme in this preview and our Michigan-Iowa preview. There's one thing I want you to talk about that could potentially be an equalizer or a path to maybe not assured victory, but a path to make this game maybe uncomfortable for Georgia fans, and it's on the defensive side of the ball for Alabama. So why don't you just get us going with that, because I know you got some thoughts on it.
Everyone's going to be focusing on a singular matchup, and a lot of people probably are tuning in to hear it, and that's Alabama's offense versus Georgia's defense. But games are played on both sides of the football, and quite often in these games, it's the opposing matchup that's the most important or the thing that decides the game. I think in this one, the thing that matters the most really is Georgia's ability offensively to move the ball on Alabama's defense. And like you said, Michigan-Iowa is going to be the same way, right? It was Michigan's offense versus Ohio State's defense that really won the day. I mean, I think a lot of people thought if Ohio State had 27 points, they'd have a good chance of winning. Not real likely that they'd lose by 15 points in that scenario. Now, we're going to get into our predictions later on, but I think Alabama's defense here is one of the more underrated units in the matchups that present themselves in this game. Alabama's run defense since the middle of October has not allowed 3 yards per carry in any game. In fact, they've allowed over three yards per carry just once. That was the A&M game. They gave up 94 yards rushing since the Florida game on September 18th. Now, if that sounds like impressive, unimpressive, to put it in perspective, their run defense is, from a yard per play perspective, better than Georgia's. 2.42 yards per play versus 2.49 yards per carry for Georgia. Both teams are allowed under 1,000 yards rushing. Alabama's allowed 967 yards. Georgia has allowed 947, albeit on fewer carries. So in our model, I'll go ahead and tell you the percentage of opponent averages allowed. Alabama's at 61% of opponent rushing averages. Georgia's at 55%. It's only about a 5-6% difference. And Georgia, I think maybe not quite what a lot of people are expecting, have played slightly better rushing offenses than Alabama has. That's in part because a lot of the teams in the West are more pass-based, a little less run-based. But Georgia's run defense is absolutely elite. It's awesome. But Alabama's is just about as elite. And really, if you think of all the gaffes that Alabama's had defensively and all their problems, it has always come in the passing game. Alabama's passing defense has been not necessarily bad, but spotty. The last, you know, five games have three teams under 6 yards per attempt and two teams over 10. Tennessee and Arkansas lit them up. LSU, New Mexico State, Auburn all held under 5.5 yards per attempt. So when you look, and I'll say even like Mississippi State, really good passing offense this year for the most part, 5.5 yards per attempt and three interceptions in that game. So Alabama's passing defense has been their Achilles heel, But coming into this game against Georgia, who is very much primarily a run-based team, I think that is absolutely the great equalizer, because I don't think there's any doubt overall in terms of body of play, Georgia is the better team than Alabama. We're not going to dispute that. We're going to lean into it probably a little bit later. Georgia is the better team. But the reason that this game is, right now it's a 6.5-point spread, is because Alabama's run defense is so good and Georgia is so predicated on the run that all of a sudden Georgia's offense might have more problems than they've had in any game, because again, not only are they facing the second best run defense or first best run defense, depending on how you want to look at it, in the SEC, but I'll also note in terms of yard per carry and rush defense, these units really are like the class of the SEC. Alabama is a yard per play better than Auburn, a yard per play better than Texas A&M, than Mississippi State. So the only comparable would be Auburn, and that was a game, Georgia did pull away late, but that was a game where Georgia struggled a little bit to score, and I think that's why this one maybe is a little closer in the point margin than a lot of people would feel for where these teams have been trending.
And I'm going to counter that as the founding member of the Stetson Bennett fan club and say this passing offense, Stetson Bennett is quietly throwing for like 10 yards an attempt this year. And I don't think that they've actually gotten the run production that they expected to get offensively this year. So it's not like a triple option team where they're running so well that when they throw the ball, it's just a shock to everybody. Like, he's been producing at a level that's been, to me, really impressive. And I said this, we got receipts. I've been on Georgia fans all year because they've been on me about how high I am on Stetson Bennett. I think they pulled JT Daniels because Stetson Bennett is just better. And I look at the numbers. The numbers don't lie. 10 yards an attempt or whatever it is. That means he's going to put together enough production that he's going to be able to exploit, in my opinion, some things in this Alabama secondary. And they do have, like, Alabama has struggled, not just this year, but in years past, with running backs out of the backfield and tight ends catching the ball. And Georgia can do that. So that's kind of my counter to that is like, okay, Alabama can stop the run. And I think they can probably be effective in this game. Georgia fans don't need to think they're going to come in and just steamroll Alabama's defense, because it is better than people are giving them credit for. But I also think that Georgia's got the offensive weapons to expose some of the stuff we saw, like in that Arkansas game. These quarterbacks seem to play out of their minds against Alabama, but it's when they have nothing to lose, Josh. I think that's worth touching on. But before we get into that, there's another interesting note, and this is what maybe leads us into the model. Maybe get the model out in the open early. I want you to touch on the fact that Georgia's also got an elite run defense too, best in the country, but it may not hurt Alabama's offense as much because they've been so limited at running back that they haven't even been able, they've had to learn to score points without even relying on the run game at all.
Yeah, the interesting thing from the model's perspective, which we'll go ahead and throw up now, is how Georgia's advantages in run defense don't necessarily translate 100% to advantages in being able to stop Alabama from scoring. I mean, Alabama's predicted to get 2.2 yards per carry. And I can tell you, we did a model at the midseason mark between Alabama and Georgia, and Alabama was favored by 3. One of the big differences in the model from then to now is that Alabama was averaging 4.5 yards a carry at the time, 9.6 yards per attempt. Alabama's pass offense is 0.3 yards per attempt different. As much as they've had some off games, they've had on games as well. They lit up an Arkansas defense that's pretty good. They've just been sputtery, but the overall quality hasn't gone down. But the quality of the run game has. And so, Georgia statistically on defense is actually lost a few percent. They went from 51% rush defense to 55, 70% pass to 70. Alabama's gotten better, 76% rush defense to 61, 93% pass defense to 92. But it's that one statistic there with Alabama's run game falling off. Otherwise, Georgia's offense has gotten a little bit better, 5.235 yards per carry now, almost 10 yards per attempt. The run game's been a little bit more solid. And that gives Georgia some serious advantages in yards per play. I mean, almost 6 yards per play predicted. Alabama's more like 4.6. The difference really is in how efficiency-driven Georgia is and how much Alabama is able to get some explosiveness out of their offense. I mean, if you look at an efficiency-based metric, and let's say, you know, one of my favorites that we talk to a lot on Twitter is Brian Fromeau of BC, who puts out the website BCF Toys and the FEI ratings. Georgia offensively is third in the country in offensive efficiency. Alabama's two, Ohio State is one still. Georgia is really, really good, but where they fall off is in metrics that are more reliant on explosives. Georgia does have explosives and has had them, but generally against average to worse competition. What Georgia has not really shown the ability to do on a consistent basis is blow the top off a high-level defense. And so that's what keeps Alabama in this model. I mean, Georgia is outgaining Alabama by about 33%, right? 4.5 to 6 yards per play. And so with 25% less production, though, the model has this game dead even. And I mean, when I say dead even, it's actually 28.47 to 28.48. So we're like hundredths of a point different. Georgia is expected to play Alabama, but Alabama's ability to convert limited yards into points is better. And Georgia, from a matchup perspective, their advantages, what they want to do offensively, match up so much worse against Alabama, where their strength is so much in run defense and not pass defense. Whereas Alabama is almost abandoned the run, which our model takes into account. And so the inability to run the ball at this point is almost a given. And that allows Alabama to still score points, even though the run game is totally unproductive. And you know, that's the name of the game with the model. But I'll be honest, even that, I think, because this is still a model based off entire year's data, man, I don't even think that does justice. Because the situation that Alabama has right now at running back, like, Georgia fans had a lot of right to complain about the wide receiver situation early in the year. And before people get in the comments, George Pickens had one reception for 5 yards. And for my eye, he looks like he's still several weeks away from getting healthy. I think they were practicing him for what they need in the playoff. I don't think Pickens is going to be a major factor in this game. But Georgia's wide receiver situation is nothing compared to what Alabama's running back situation is right now. Their only good tailback, Robinson, gets hurt and knocked out of the game. Sanders is coming back from a car crash and is not running. He runs like a guy that's about 60% health. And that's the only tailback they have left on the roster. Alabama's run game is in such tatters that they have to operate as a one-dimensional team. And I'm just not sure if that's even... A lot of what you look at in the model and a lot of how you want to make a prediction is totally based off whether you think that is in any way a viable approach to attack Georgia as a football team.
Yeah, and that's what gives me a little pause if I'm thinking about Alabama being truly competitive in this game. And this is a credit to Georgia, because Georgia fans, and I hope Georgia fans appreciate the fact that, like, we are, excuse me, a little Alabama heavy in this. And it's because what we've seen from Georgia all year and what we've seen from Alabama lately really doesn't indicate that there's much opportunity for Alabama to win this game. So we're trying to explore maybe some ways that Alabama could find a win, when in reality, I don't think either one of us is going to pick Alabama in this game. So I hope Georgia fans appreciate that. This is not a, you know, pick on Georgia hour. Hopefully it don't go that long. But it is, like, this is a little more interesting to me than just saying Georgia's going to win. What we saw when Michigan lost to Purdue, or Michigan State lost to Purdue, we saw a Purdue team that just 130th out of 130 in rushing offense, threw against that terrible secondary, went bombs away, and was highly effective. And what did we say the next week? It's not going to work against Ohio State. Because good teams, really good teams, you can't be that one-dimensional. And so I think if Alabama really is in tatters in their run game, it's going to be tough for an offensive line that's already having a hard time against good, not great defensive lines like LSU and Auburn. That's got to give Alabama fans some concerns, because Georgia is really praying you be one-dimensional. So that brings me to what I think Alabama needs to do, and which is what I'm going to ask you if you agree and kind of break it down a little bit. I think what we saw against Auburn in Alabama was just a disaster of a coaching strategy and lack of adjustments to what was going on and what their limitations were. I think the only way Alabama has a prayer against Georgia is if they do something entirely different. And in my mind, that's tempo. I think they need to run tempo the whole game. If they get blown out, they get blown out, because we talk about sometimes if you're the underdog shortening the game. I think they need to run tempo the whole game. These checks at the line that Bryce Young are doing is killing the offensive line, killing the flow of the game. And I think he plays a little better when he's not thinking. Do you think that's maybe the answer for Alabama, or is it something else?
I think it's the only thing that Alabama can do at this point. And, you know, the word when we were Googling before we did this call on, and we record on Sundays, is that Brian Robinson has a muscle pull and he may or may not play. And I think he probably is going to end up being playing if it's not a danger to him out of sheer necessity, but I don't think he's going to be viable. They're in emergency operational mode. And I think from Alabama's perspective, you've just got to go into this with the mindset of you've got nothing to lose and you've got to attack. And that's not a mindset that Alabama operates in very often, but their run game is so busted at this point that I don't think a traditional check at the line, what I think has been a very broken approach, frankly, from Bill O'Brien in that regard. Look, I've seen a lot of complaints about his play calling. I know Alabama fans seem to hate him. I don't think his play calling is so bad. You know, they don't run screens because they face a lot of aggressive man, which they're going to face by Georgia, who is, man, there was a point this season where Georgia fans got on me because I said they were a man press team on Twitter. And they're like, well, we run more zone than we ever have. It's like, yes, okay, but that was because you were playing a lot of teams that it made sense to play zone against, particularly because they were somewhat limited in the passing game. They're still Kirby Smart's defense, and they're still going to run man press against a team that they know has the ability to throw the football with a quarterback that can be very effective. Like the end of the Auburn game, Auburn ran a lot of zone, and Alabama really was way different offensively. You want to be aggressive and you want to bring pressure, and that means man coverage. And if you're a man coverage, you can't throw screens because that guy that drops back for a screen has a man that's in press coverage on him. So when he flips back for the screen, you got a guy in your hip pocket. That's how you throw pick sixes on screen plays. You have to throw the ball down the field. And the only way you can throw the ball down the field is if you're not giving up pressure or if the ball is coming out quickly. And to Daniel's point, I think if Alabama tries to check at the line of scrimmage, if they try to, I won't say finesse it, but if they're trying to always manage to get to the right play, which is a very pro-style concept, I think it just goes into Georgia's hands. Because Georgia is extremely consistent. They're extremely effective. You got a linebacker in Akobe Dean that's an engineering major. And I think that shows up all over the place with Georgia. They're a smart, well-coached team. They're never out of position. If you try to do things like check one way or the other, Georgia is going to counter-check. So they will get you to flip from the left side of the line because they overload. Okay, well, you don't want to, well, they're so overloaded, we're not going to run behind left tackle. Bryce Young flips to right tackle. And now all of a sudden, you know, Carter ends up with Quay Walker, you know, shifting over behind him. They get the edge and then they blow up the run play. That's what Alabama is going to see. You're better off just getting to the line and snapping quickly, not giving Georgia time to adjust and call plays they want to play. Make Georgia play you straight up and see if you can challenge their corners. Now, the whole game here really comes down whether Alabama's offensive line can handle Georgia in that capacity. But I do think that tempo is the only way to go. It may mean a lot of fast three and outs if you're Alabama. But look, if your defense isn't stopping Georgia consistently and that run game consistently, you've got enough problems anyway. So I think that's really the only way to go. I think Bryce Young's been more effective in that manner. And to circle back around to this rambling point I've been making, Bill O'Brien's, I think, failure to realize that in the college game, with the clock rules being where they are, where you can set the ball and snap it as fast as you want to go, he's calling plays like he's being able to talk in the quarterback's head. Like, he's putting so much on the quarterback, like the quarterback is able to just sit there and read the play, and everything's slow, and everybody in the field knows what they're supposed to be doing. And the truth is they don't, and there's a lot of stuff to manage. And it's just a tremendous amount of pressure on Bryce Young, whereas they should be able to and really should be calling plays from the sideline, moving at a faster tempo, making it a lot easier on Young to do what he needs to do and not worry so much about everything else on the field. And I think if they did that, they'd be a tremendous amount more successful. because the college game just gives advantages to that, and Alabama does not make use of them. But I'm not sure at this point you can change that, so I'm not sure how much that will change in this game. But maybe necessity is the mother of invention here. With no viable run game apparent for Alabama, I do think a hurry-up tempo offense is the only result. My question, and maybe something you can touch on before you want to move on to the next subject, if Alabama goes that route, do you think they have any chance in hell of stopping Georgia from just meeting at the quarterback every other play?
I think that's the only way they stop it. Because, look, if you're doing 30-second checks at the line, and it's that bad. Like, I don't know how much Georgia fans have seen it, but, like, Bryce Young is literally thinking about it for a little while, walking up to the center with, like, 9 seconds left on the clock and snapping with 3 or 4 seconds left. Defense knows when to go. Like, they're waving a big red flag saying, go, 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 get the quarterback, and letting them time it up perfectly. So I think the only way to keep them on their heels is put them on skates a little bit.
And I want to unpack what you just said, because people may miss it. When Bryce Young is getting the play call late or making checks of the line and then they're snapping with less than 3 seconds, the defense has a massive advantage if you snap that late in the clock, because you cannot go on two. And the defense knows the ball is about to be snapped. And so the get off that the defensive edge, especially edge players, it really hurts offensive tackles, because they're further away from the center and they don't get to react quite as well. Now all of a sudden the defensive linemen and the offensive tackles, especially on like a quick count like they were at Auburn, there wasn't even a clap count or even a clap count, they're going to be starting off the same point as the DNs, and it's so easy for the DN to get a step advantage on the OT, the offensive tackles. And I think that's your point, right? Like, it's impossible for Alabama to block Georgia if Alabama is snapping the ball with less than 5 seconds in the play clock.
Right. And what this offense is basically, it's Jimbo Fisher, Texas A&M. It's drawing up all the perfect stuff, but forcing quarterbacks to make perfect plays and having everything on their shoulders. And Georgia's not the defense that you want for that. There's no easy yards in the Alabama offense. And that's what I think is a big problem against a Georgia defense, that the only way you have any success is to get a little bit of rhythm going, because they don't give up easy yards either. So I think that's where maybe Alabama is in real trouble here. Let's talk about Georgia for a minute before we get into our picks. I'm curious what your thoughts are in terms of Georgia being the hunted in this game and potentially playing a little tight, versus the role reversal where it's been Alabama who's been the hunted with everything to lose. Is it the fact that Georgia knows they're in the playoffs regardless? Does that make it a little less of a factor in this game for Georgia and allows them to play a little looser, where in the past maybe everything was on the line for Alabama and they tightened up and Georgia doesn't have that? Or is it still there a little bit?
I have a hard time believing this Georgia team is going to play overly tight. They really benefit from the amount of experience they have on both sides of the ball. They've fed on the defense in particular, which has really not let the other team get any foothold and has generated a lot of negative plays and early scoring opportunities. I think, circling back around how we started this preview, really, a lot of this hinges on the offensive side of the ball for Georgia. Now, Georgia's offense is heavily efficiency dependent. And what I mean by that is that Georgia really, as a matter of principle, has long drives that they tend to, you know, get things into a position where, you know, the other team doesn't have the ball for like 6 or 7 minutes at a time, especially early in the game. And they play very few possessions of meaningful time. And in those few possessions, they tend to get, you know, like a 24-0 lead in the first like 5 possessions of the ball game. A lot of times they were doing it with only 2 offensive scores. I was critical of the fact that they never scored 3 offensive touchdowns. I think it was like Florida or Missouri game, the first time they did that, first half offensive touchdowns, I mean to say. And it was like, well, it's kind of crazy they were scoring some of the points they were without ever doing that. But they have been better in that regard the past few weeks, I think. But the problem for Georgia really is going to be if the offense can't move the ball successfully early on. And I think that's where the tightness will or won't develop. If they can build a lead, and I mean any lead, early in the game, especially like a 7 to 10 point lead, that's going to mean that all the pressure's on Alabama because they're the ones that have to catch up. But if Georgia doesn't score early on, if Georgia gets like a 7-point lead and they can't build on it and the offense is stalling, the one thing Georgia hasn't experienced this year is a stalling offense. Particularly, they haven't really experienced a game where their run game hasn't been present. Because the reality is, you know, like you look at, let's say, Auburn. Auburn's front has been a little undersized this year. And I mean, they've been a good defense. They held Alabama in check for the most part, you know, for the entirety of the game, up until about the last 3 minutes. Auburn's front and their ability to stop the inside run probably isn't the same as maybe Texas A&M or Mississippi State in the West, who have much better interior defensive linemen. And so if Georgia struggles with that aspect, I think what it's going to fall to is Georgia's ability to have efficiency in the passing game. Now, this is where you are a Stetson Bennett lover and a proponent, because the guy is just incredibly efficient. And he may not have the splash plays, which means that sometimes some of the various characteristics that, you know, quarterbacks can have, like, you know, QB rating, those things do and don't fall to him. QB rating-wise, 189 QB rating is the best in the conference. Yards per game, 180 yards per game is 12th in the conference. Yards per play, way at the top, at 10.8 yards per play. Touchdowns, not even close, at 21. So, we're, you know, Bryce Young has 40. So the difference there, it really is the fact that what Stetson Bennett does is when he chooses to throw, he has a very high completion percentage of, well, I say very high, but about 65%, about this little bit under Bryce Young. But they tend to go for first down yardage. He doesn't make many mistakes. He's very good at escaping the pocket, making things happen, keeping the chains moving. And to the extent Georgia does that, I think they're going to feel comfortable. I think the game's going to go well. But if Georgia isn't able to do it, and that's going to depend a lot on, in particular, Alabama's inability or ability to cover like tight ends and backs out of the backfield, something they've struggled with, something Georgia excels at, that will create the tightness or let it go. Because I think Georgia's defense is going to be good to the start of the game, but the thing that they haven't really had to do is lean on that defense for like two or three quarters. Like Florida had that dam break right at the end of the second quarter. If that doesn't happen to the same extent, I think that's the thing that'll make them feel pressure to say, wait, we haven't put them away. This game feels different. And then maybe a little pressure comes on. But I still think that's probably a bit of an outside chance.
All right, I'm ready to give my score. This channel for 5 or 6 years now has been really consistent on a few things. One, if you're a dominant team, you're a dominant team. And if you're not, you're not. And those things show up through the course of the season. Whole schedule matters. And I think from that regard, I'm not ready to change my thinking and pull a fast one and say, oh, look, here's a bunch of reasons why Alabama's going to win. I think there's a bunch of reasons why Alabama could win. The roster, the quarterback, a lot of things there. But we could say that for anybody. And I think that the things that we've said about Alabama and have been right about Alabama in years past is who Georgia is this year. They're still playing Alabama. So I think for all the Georgia fans that want or expect Georgia to come in and moonwalk Alabama, I don't think the offensive line is going to crumble for Alabama like everybody expects, in spite of how good this Georgia team is. I think that Alabama is going to score some points or be able to move the ball effectively some more than we saw against Auburn. And it doesn't make sense, but transitive property doesn't make sense this year. But I think Georgia has been dominant on both sides of the ball. Their offense does not get enough credit for who they are this year, in a year where everybody's offense has faltered at some point throughout the season. I also know that our model has been pretty good on Georgia offensively and undersold them defensively. Pairing that with the fact that the book's a little bit out on this Alabama offense right now and the fact that they can't run, I don't think Alabama gets theirs this year with the points. So give me Georgia 27, Alabama 17. What you got?
It's really annoying to me when, you know, like I tell you that I'm going to pick a score and then I modify it in my head during the discussion. And then you pick the exact same stupid score. I have this game 27-17. I was originally going to say 24-13, but I think that's a little too low scoring the more we looked at it. I do think, you know, I do think Alabama's going to get some points. And if nothing else, if you're in such desperation mode where you're behind and the other team's got 27, Alabama's going to start really trying to throw downfield, even if that creates some turnovers. But I think that just leads to more points for both teams. I'm with you. I mean, the game is still under a touchdown, which means I still think this is very much a game Alabama could win. I think the odds of it probably are 60-40 in Georgia's favor. I think Alabama has more than a puncher's chance here, but I think Georgia's the safe bet. And it's something that irritates people forever is I pick against Alabama probably once out of every 3 years at this point. And it's because I don't pick underdogs to win very often. And Alabama has been the underdog once in the last 3 or 4 years, and that was last year's Georgia game. Most of the time, the team that's favored does win, and sometimes it doesn't happen. And I do call those shots, like LSU, UCLA, the beginning of the year. I was pretty confident LSU was going to lose that game based on a number of factors. But in this one, I think the spread is pretty accurate. I mean, I say 27-17 just based off the way I think the game's going to go. I think this one could swing wildly. We talk a lot about games in the low 20s being very unpredictable. This game has that feel. But ultimately, to me, I think that injury to Roydell Williams a few weeks ago, combined with the injury to Jace McClellan, who as of, what was it, week four? I'm looking at my schedule here. Yeah, it was the Ole Miss game, if I remember right, where he got knocked out. That kind of derailed Alabama's offense, I think, a little bit more than people appreciate. And then Williams was a serviceable backup, but he wasn't the same player. And when they lost him, the balance of their offense just fell apart. And obviously their offensive line has struggled. They had a hurt center, which they've struggled to replace from the LSU game. They ended up putting a different backup in and solidified it against Auburn. I think there's a chance with the offensive line that they kind of settled with in the second half of that Iron Bowl that Alabama maybe is a lot more competent than we're expecting, but I still don't think they're going to be good versus Georgia's front. I just don't see any way that that happens. And so, yeah, this game for Alabama to win, I would be pretty well shocked if Alabama scores even 30 points in this game. I just think the offensive line is such a deficiency. But Alabama's path to win here is, I do think people underestimate how the potential for Alabama to make Georgia really, really uncomfortable with Alabama's defense in this game. And if Alabama were to generate a special teams or defensive score, especially early in the game, and kind of flip the script a little bit, I think that could create some of that tightness and could put Alabama in a situation where they feel like the hunter, where Georgia starts to feel like the hunted for the first time this year, and they're not able to just pounce on the other team. That's the path Alabama could win. But if this game goes the way it does, let's say 60-65% of the time, Georgia is not going to allow Alabama to do much. I think Georgia is going to slowly get yards. They're going to have a lot of drives that are kind of longest drives in stall, and I think it's going to take them a while to generate points. While Alabama, again, the first two drives are scripted and they're always kind of their own thing, but it's going to take a while for Georgia to wear down Alabama's defense, really. But if Alabama's offense is really that anemic and they're going three and out, especially if they go three and out with tempo, where we're taking the approach we're saying, but they can't block them, at some point, Alabama's defense is going to give. And just like a lot of other games, Georgia ends up rolling out on top. I think at the end of the day, this Georgia team is clearly better than anyone else in the country. I think the offense isn't what a lot of Georgia fans expected or wanted them to be. I think they are far more effective than Georgia fans give them credit for. And when you pair it with the defense that is just, at this point, like two tiers better than anyone else in the country, having an offense that doesn't screw up and that is a surefire bet to generate more than 25 points in a game is a pretty darn good way to win every ball game. And yeah, I mean, that's why I have Georgia in this game. Same as you, 27-17. The model has it 28-28. I just don't think it's the same Alabama team. And yeah, that's the way it is. So I'm going to ask a question for you, because you usually ask them for me. How different would your viewpoint be of Alabama if they had a fully healthy center and if they had their second and third string tailbacks fully healthy. I mean, if Alabama didn't have some offensive line issues and Alabama had their full stable of tailbacks, is that worth a score or two in your mind?
I don't think so. Because Georgia's still Georgia, and that run defense is still what it is, and they've faced healthy stables with good offensive lines this year and just annihilated them. And so from that standpoint, I don't think it matters. Like, and that's why I have a hard time really even with my score. Like, I think we're giving Alabama a little bit too much credit, because we're talking about far and away the best team in the country in Georgia. And then we're talking about all these, like, Alabama's got a patchwork offensive line. Alabama's got a crappy or ill-equipped offensive coordinator for the college game. Alabama's going to play a wide receiver at their backup running back. Like, all of these things. And we're like, how much of this are we just giving Alabama credit because of the name brand and not really saying, look, we're making excuses for a team that might be getting annihilated Saturday? That's what I feel like, you know, even with those running backs, they haven't been effective throughout the year. I think the bigger issue is that the book is out on the approach that Alabama is taking offensively. 3 weeks ago, they had more healthy running backs. I think they had Williams, and they still were struggling in a way that is really not something you should be doing this late in the year. And what I said after the LSU game was, let's see, maybe Alabama couldn't adjust in game, and maybe they just needed a practice or a tune-up game to get better. They have not. It's actually gotten worse. And there's no way in my mind until I see it. And that's what we say on this channel all the time. When you show us you can do something, when you give us data to work with, we'll give you credit for it. But until then, we're not going to assume that you can do those things. And the one thing that Alabama hasn't shown us and given us reason to assume they can do it is to do anything with a team that's sending 5 and 6 guys. Georgia doesn't even have to send 5 and 6 guys to get pressure. If they do it here, it might be a nightmare for Alabama, because I haven't seen them be able to adjust. They're still doing the same lame checks at the line, calling, audibling run blitz, running into a run blitz, like that sort of thing. And it's just, I can't imagine they put it together in 1 week versus Georgia. Give us a parting shot on this one and I'll close this out. We're pushing 40 minutes, so let's get it.
Yeah, my parting shot would be, you know, anything can happen in this game. And I still think if Alabama ever plays their A game on both sides of the ball, they probably are the best equipped in the country to do so. But one thing we didn't even talk on is Bryce Young had the yips in the Iron Bowl. And it's justified given the fact that they had no run game and they're getting a ton of offensive line pressure. But he has a real problem of drifting far too deep in the pocket, which means if you drift, the pocket's kind of a circle. And if you back out of the circle, then that edge rusher, instead of having to arc around to you, can just kind of run straight to you. And there's no way for the offensive lineman to basically block the shallow angle that creates. And he also missed a lot of reads, a lot of easy throws where he should have gotten the ball out quick. A lot of people are going to blame the offensive coordinator somewhat fairly. I think the problem with the coordinator is creating a complex scheme where he's not understanding it. In terms of the play being there with the play that's called, yeah. I know there was one sequence in the Iron Bowl, and I even texted you about it. It's like, man, Twitter was going crazy with their offensive coordinator. And I'm like, look, they just had a missed pass, a drop pass, and a missed pass in a row. And they were all completable. And that's not an offensive coordinator problem. So part of Alabama's issue definitely has been the inconsistency that I think has been unfairly put on a first-year starter in hostile environments with no support around him whatsoever. But if they were to put all that together, it absolutely wouldn't shock me if Alabama kind of goes off offensively and this game feels very different. But as you said, you got to show me your ability to do it. And we're several weeks in now, and I haven't seen that. I really haven't. Maybe the second half against Arkansas, maybe that one game against Mississippi State, it's been far too sporadic. And I think a Georgia defense that's going to have the ability to generate pressure all game, it's just not the game where they're going to turn that around. And that's why I think it's definitely more likely than not that Alabama loses this one and that Georgia finally gets, quote, over the hump and into the playoff as SEC champions.
And Alabama fans, I think they feel that this isn't their year, and Georgia fans feel that it is. So I don't think there's any shame for Alabama fans in an 11-1 rebuilding year, and I think for Georgia fans, it's time. They're the best team in the country. They're going to show everybody Saturday. I will do a little bit of Georgia fans' work for them because they're going to tell you in the comments, and they're going to be right. You rolled out Bryce Young's stats, and you rolled out Stetson Bennett's stats, and they're going to say, but Stetson Bennett isn't playing second halves, and that's why he doesn't have those total yards. I got you, Georgia fans. Thanks so much, y'all. Let us know what the score is going to be in the comments. Have a great week, and God bless.